You're listening to the Ohio Conference Cast, where we explore topics related to the workings of Ohio Conference. Here are your hosts, Bill Seymour and Thomas Dunn.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ohio Conference Cast. This is Bill Seymour, and I am here with two guys. Jamie Rye is the new pastor at Millersburg Mennonite, and he is my co-host this afternoon. Jamie, say hi.
How you doing, everyone? Bill, thanks for having me join in with you here.
All right, and we have a guest, and the guest is Dr. Josh Packard, and he is a PhD nerdy kind of guy. Jamie and I just went to a seminar called The Duns, or something like that. Well, why don't we just ask you, Josh, what was the seminar we just came to?
Yeah, hi, and thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. The Duns are people who kept their faith but have decided to leave the institutional church. So that means that they're still identifying as Christian. Often they'll even still identify with their particular tradition within Christianity, but they're not going to go on Sunday mornings. They're not going to be members anywhere, etc., even though they used to be.
So Josh, tell us a little bit about your background and how you fell into this area of study, the Duns.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's important to know where your information is coming from. I grew up in the church. That went on to get a PhD in sociology at Vanderbilt University, and now work as a sociologist at the University of Northern Colorado, where I also run a research lab. And then, my research line has all been in sociology of religion. So I have a religious background, but I also approach this from a very, academic, just wanting to understand what is happening out there, because the religious world is changing so much in recent years, and it has such a big impact on, I think our broader social institutions in our country.
Was there any trigger or person that you encountered that said, "Hey, we need to know more about this topic"?
Well, I think a lot of research comes out of you're doing one project and you hear about something and you put it in your back pocket and you wait because it doesn't exactly fit. And that was the case here. My dissertation in my first book is a really academic treatment of the emerging church movement. And in the course of that, I kept hearing this term, people saying that they were de-churched or done, and I wanted to know more about that. But it wasn't really what it was. That was mostly a very academic treatise on organizations.
So you told the story in the seminar about a student that you had that you gave her the assignment to look at who these people were because you weren't sure you wanted to hear their stories.
It wasn't that I didn't want to hear them. I didn't want to have to sit there for... Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you didn't want to hear them.
So yeah. Ashley was my student. She's a co-author on the book Church Refugees that we wrote. And it was... I really thought it was going to be a story about millennials, about 20 to 25, 27, 28-year-olds, why they weren't engaging with the church. That was my initial hypothesis. And so I was it seemed like a tailor-made student project for a student to work on. And so I had sort of, when she came up and expressed interest in doing this as an undergraduate, I was like, great, let's go track down some information. I've got this project and you can start it. And as we got into it, I realized that it was so much bigger than that. This is really a thing that was happening across generations and across age groups and across faith traditions.
I don't want to throw you on the spot, but you held up some very interesting statistics. One of the things you mentioned was the transition of trust in our culture away from the institution. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So I think that what is happening right now is that we've all seen the numbers about church attendance decline, but I think we're telling ourselves the wrong story about why that decline is occurring. And so we get very caught up in these narratives, and narratives are important, but they can really box us in. And so we've been telling the story of church decline as one of, it's either too much culture wars, or we're not being strict enough about, holding to what we believe in our value, or it's millennials that don't care about anything anymore, none of which we have any real evidence to support. It's just a story that makes sense to us. Mm. The story that I think we do have evidence to support, and that does actually matter, is this loss of trust in our social institutions more broadly. The church is one of those, but we're also seeing that in other sectors as well, business, government, politics, et cetera, et cetera. And the church is feeling, in some cases, they're dealing with this now after those other institutions have already been feeling it and have started readjusting, but the church is just now getting its legs on, coming to grips with that. And in part, again, because they're very much caught up in this notion of it can't be us, it must be something else.
So you opened the seminar telling the story about, or well, sort of reminding us of the story of the tortoise and the hare, the tortoise who, you know, is in this race and just going to kind of plod along, and the hare who's all arrogant and starts and takes a rest because he knows he's going to win. And it was the point that you had me was where you said that at some point you think maybe the tortoise thought that perhaps he could win this race and maybe put a little more elbow grease into the deal.
Right.
Why did you tell that story? And particularly, why did you tell that story to a room full of Mennonites?
Well, I think that, I mean, the Anabaptist tradition and Mennonites who, you know, have never, you all have never been particularly swayed by wanting to be the flashiest or in the mainstream or any, in some cases have held up that.
So wait. You Lutheran, you're calling us dull? Is that what you're doing?
No. I can't remember the last Mennonite megachurch that I ran across. Is David Crowder Mennonite? I don't think so.
No, but some want him to be.
Yeah, he does have a good, he does have a good beard. Yeah, the good beard.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I can't think, as I was preparing for this, I couldn't think of any, any Mennonite celebrities in the religious world. I couldn't think of any bellwether congregations that most people in the Christian world, even outside of the Mennonite tradition, would know of. And so it's clear that like you all have never intentionally or unintentionally pursued that. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of other traditions have. And I don't think that that's good or bad. What I mean to say is that I think that now is the time that there's an actual opportunity. Those things that sort of not being as well known, being really committed to things that are very local, very contextual, very social justice driven, very community focused. Those things that sort of worked, I would say, against the growth of the Mennonite church in this 1970s, 80s, 90s, 2000s is now a total strength, because those are all the things that, like, my research is showing that people who are leaving the church and lots of other people, like, there's a movement back towards those things now. So it struck me as thinking like, oh, we could be in the middle of this tortoise and hare situation right now, where like, this is the moment that the turtle looks around and says like, hey, I can make some real ground here. There's an opportunity.
So you're saying that maybe a Mennonite context would be a place that could be attractive to the Dunns as a, you know, as a whole or as a generalization.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
We have no idea of knowing that whether the Dunns will come back to regular church worship. They say that they don't intend to, and I believe them. I know that things happen in the course of our lives that we don't anticipate. And so who knows how that'll play out, but they are out there doing really important work. And they are willing to engage with the institutional church. And I think that you all offer opportunities for that in some really great ways.
Today, I learned that I am a Dunn in terms of your categories.
No, you're an ex-Dunn.
I'm an ex-Dunn. Right. I'm an ex-Dunn, not an ex-Nun. But I found my way into Anabaptism. It was really appealing to me. So supporting your hypothesis. But the question I have is... what are some things you could say to pastors listening to this in terms of ways they could act or respond in their church to perhaps welcome Dunns into their midst?
Yeah. Or find them attractive. It's weird to talk, like, I think the Mennonites need a marketing campaign. I've never literally ever suggested that to a church body before in my life. I think most churches do too much marketing. But you know what when I'm teaching this to my students, my students think that Mennonites are, you know, beards and bonnets and you know, hand tools and outside of the mainstream. I happen to have a friend who is very heavily involved in his local Mennonite congregation and did some work with Mennonite Central Committee after Hurricane Katrina. So I know a different story than what most of my students know, but I don't think most people know that story. Like, right. I know a story of like social justice at a level that is transformative and impactful, at least intends to be, wants to be,
right.
Tries to be that. And that is the part that I like. That's what I think of when I think of Mennonites. That is not what most people think of when they think of Mennonites.
So are you saying we should get better too at telling our own narrative?
I agree. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like, that is, if that feels very weird to me, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk about church refugees and this research to a number of different denominations, and I'm usually telling them to stop doing those things. Like, right. Stop with the window dressing, get more authentic, figure out who you are, and figure out what your message is. And I sort of feel like I had to come in here today and be like, y'all should hire a PR firm. Like, you have the substance, you have the content that a lot of these people are looking for. It's you know, there's some, but they just don't know.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your encouragement at a time where many in Mennonite Church USA aren't feeling really encouraged.
Well, it's in
at least not all the time.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Josh, can you tell me, what do these duns do when they leave the church?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. They're still active and engaged and involved, and so they're still doing things out in the world, which is why I think there's such an opportunity to re-engage them. But it is very much an open question. So our website, where we put out this research and recruit people to participate in it, is www.dechurched.net.
And dechurched, D-E, not
yes.
just D, right, so dechurch.
Not the church.
D-E-C-H-U-R-C-H-E-D dot net, that's right.
There you go.
And there you can learn. So we've got a project going on right now about pastors who feel stuck in their roles, and we've got a project where we're sort of actively taking a look at people who've walked outside of the institutional boundaries but are still doing what they might consider to be church or some sort of faith engagement on a regular basis. And so hopefully we'll have results on that soon.
Sounds good. Well, we appreciate that you have taken some time at supper to meet with us. And Jamie, thanks for being a co-host.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You worked out fairly well. We'll get you a score and see if you're allowed to come back.
Next time, maybe you should script it for me.
Well, we try really hard not to do that. Sometimes with Thomas, we have to. What our listeners need to know is that while this was happening in the background, Kevin Himes was doing a liturgical dance. I met him at lunch this morning, and he said, hey, for your next podcast, I really want to do a liturgical
dance. It's not really a thing that translates over to radio.
Right. And so, but there he is. And it really was lovely, because everything Kevin does is lovely. And we love to throw him under the bus here at Ohio Conference Cast. He's our favorite guy to play with online. And he may become a co-host this week. Again, so thank you, everyone, for listening to Ohio Conference Cast. Our hope is that there'll be one or two, maybe three more of these this week as we are here at Mennonite Church USA. So thank you, Josh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. And good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Ohio Conference Cast. We would like to hear from you. You can email us at ohioconferencecast@gmail.com with any topics or questions you would like us to explore.